Welcome back. Well, the dominant election polls are run by Ipsos and the IRR, and they both signal a drop in support for the ANC and the DA, with the latter suggesting that coalition governments will be the order of the day post May the 8th, while Ipsos suggests that the ANC will remain in power. Who could be right? Zaid Kimi from the Foundation for Human Rights joins us in studio now for a closer look at the science behind polling. Thanks so much, Zaid, for joining us in studio this evening.
Pleasure.
So our mailbox is being flooded at this stage by emails professing new polling data that provides new insight into what could be revealed next week. How much new insight are these election polls actually able to reveal?
Well, you know, election polling has got a bit of a bad reputation recently. More often they've gotten things wrong than right. In South Africa, one of the problems we face is that there are so few polls. They're generally just these two, and they run on sort of quarterly or perhaps, you know, every 2 months. So it's somewhat expected that the numbers will bounce around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the small number of polls makes it really difficult to perform any sort of scientific exercise.
That factor aside, we've got disillusioned voters having risen in number, and one wonders how much time people actually have, to provide accurate answers to the questions being asked about their voting prerogatives in the first place.
Well, the methodology is an important part of these polls. They tend to try and use face-to-face interviews. But the science of polling is, you know, as I said, suffered a couple of setbacks recently. The consensus in the Brexit election, for example, was that the answer would be yes, we'll stay in the European Union. The consensus was that Donald Trump would not be the president of the United States. And unfortunately, in the real world, both of those things didn't come to pass. So, yeah, there's the actual method of generating this data. I think people have to take a couple of steps back and look, take a serious look at the sort of information they've been able to generate.
I guess especially so where you're relying on honesty of answers and people willing to, divulge what they're actually feeling and thinking at that specific point in time.
Yeah, okay. So both of these polls have interviewed the Race Relations and the Ipsos poll have interviewed about 2,500 people. And if it were a true random poll, which is, you know, a true random sample, which is what everyone really wants, you'd expect even then that there'd be about a 2.5% variation.
Okay.
Yeah. Just noise in the data. Mm-hmm. So when someone says the ANC is going to get 58%, the best guess they have is that it's somewhere between plus 2%, minus 2%. So these aren't precise numbers in the first instance. Then, even once you've collected the data, and assuming you've done that all perfectly, you have to do a lot of hard work afterwards. You have to adjust the data. The raw numbers are pretty meaningless. You have to adjust the data against what you think the actual voting population will be, the people who will turn out to vote on the day. And that is an unknown variable. So people make their best guesses based on the people they've interviewed, whether they are going to vote or not, and then on the actual scale of turnout. So all of these things feed in. So the initial result that you get out, you know, if you just crunch the numbers and, you know, had a spreadsheet, the number that you end up with is your prediction. Significantly different from that because you've had to take account of all of these other factors.
How much of a spanner in the works has the rise of many, many small parties in the run-up to the election actually thrown?
I don't think that affects the numbers particularly. I think the three numbers everyone's looked at is the ANC, the DA and the EFF. And I think there's a bit of noise around the smaller parties, but no one expects any significant movement away from, you know, a maximum of 1.5% for some of the larger of the smaller parties.
Zayed, having said all of that, your model or your election forecasting tool was developed years ago and it boasts some success. So what's different about it versus the various polls we've been talking about?
Okay, so this is the CSIR's election prediction. These election polls try and tell you what the answer is going to be today before a single vote has been cast. The CSIR election prediction only kicks in during that window period between when the first results arrive at about 11:30 and somewhere around 4 o'clock the next morning, when the actual results that are up on the board in no way reflect what the final result will be. So at that point, that model will tell you pretty accurately what the final result is going to be.
I've got to ask the question, though, why do you want to know what the results are going to be in the window period?
Because there's what we call an information deficit. You know, at that point, the number on the board is going to say ANC 52%, DA 31%. And people are not going to be sure. Certainly, that information is not meaningful because of the variable way in which results come in. So at that point, people tend to misinterpret, perhaps start celebrating early, perhaps start, opening the bottle of special whiskey they saved up. But what the CSIR wants to do in that period is just bring some sanity to the results. And also there's obviously some kudos to being able to tell people what the result's going to be.
And being right.
And being right.
Yeah. Zayed, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Zayed Kimi is with the Foundation for Human Rights.